Coming to you from 4,200 feet in the hills of Oregon, it's the reddest beard in the high desert, your host of the Make It Out Alive broadcast, Sam Wilson. Welcome, folks. Looking forward to the very first episode of the MOA broadcast. We have lots of good information here. First off, though, let's get our papers out of the way. What is this broadcast? What is this program all about? Well, in a manner of speaking, it's about survival, but not just survival like we think of. In the past, we thought of, when we think of survivalists going back 20, 30 years, it'd be guys in fatigues with beards and long hair and machine guns and living out in the woods somewhere in a camper or down by the river or whatever. Survival now has become kind of a different thing, at least as far as the focus of this show. We're going to be focused not so much only on wilderness survival, but urban survival, and really just the way of living, a prepared way of living, not just off-grid living or homesteading or, preppers, so to speak, but being prepared to deal with whatever life throws you. We live in very wild times. All you have to do is watch the news each day, and we face unprecedented threats and events and just wild. People are crazy. They do wild and crazy things. And, preparedness is not just about having a survival knife or being able to rub two sticks together and make fire in the woods. It's a way of looking at things, what they call situational awareness. That's being aware of what is going on around you and being prepared, really expecting the unexpected, so to speak. And why is this so important? Well, one of the things we see is, especially the younger generation now, people in their teens and even their 20s or 30s, they have become so preoccupied with these cell phones. They have really, anybody that drives around through probably any city in America can drive down the street and you'll see kids or even young adults walking down the street, blind to traffic, looking at their phone and tapping and typing and texting and so forth, completely oblivious to what is going on around them. And one of the more alarming things you see is if you're ever on social media and you see wild and crazy events that you don't really see maybe on the mainstream media, so to speak, people getting attacked or mugged or whatever, they're being attacked violently by someone who may be armed with a gun or a bat or a machete or something. And what do? Instead of running or, defending themselves, they pull their phone out and they start videoing the person. So, and really, in my opinion, you may disagree, but I think the onus is more particularly upon men to make sure they're situationally aware and able to, maybe not just defend against these threats, but be ready in case something happens, whether it's a threat or maybe it's a car accident or being stranded somewhere, changing a tire. A lot of the things that I grew up in rural Missouri, okay, out in the country, these are things that, that we grew up knowing, we were taught by our parents, and we were prepared to be able to take care of things. I can't tell you the number of times, especially when I lived in cities like in Portland, I once saw a guy literally abandon his vehicle. He just walked away from it because he had a flat tire. He didn't know what to do, and he didn't know who to call. And he walked away from his vehicle. So, that's going to be the focus of the show. Let's get right into a news story to kind of illustrate what I'm talking about. Let's see here. We go to the Columbia River Gorge in Oregon, no less, back in 2012. I remember reading this story whenever it came out. And, I was just shocked. Fortunately, it doesn't have a bad ending, so we don't have to worry about that. We're not going to use the guy's name. He's probably been embarrassed enough over the years. But I know this area very well. It's in Horsetail Falls, which is near Multnomah Falls. If you ever go out in that part of Oregon, it's only about 35-40 minutes away from downtown Portland. So it's very convenient. It's an absolutely beautiful set of waterfalls, and there are a number of waterfalls in that area that you can go check out. So let's see. The hiker, a 43-year-old man from Beaverton is right outside Portland, was able to call 911 at about 6:30 p.m., and searchers deployed to the area at about 8:30 p.m. He was found cold but safe at about 1:40 a.m. Friday. So he started getting lost. He tried making multiple calls around 6:30 and they finally got to him at about 1:40 in the morning. So a couple of hours he was out there, you know, 6, 8 hours, whatever, depending on when exactly he got back to his car. Now, here's the problem. If you're not familiar with Oregon, there's a big disparity between the daytime temperature and the nighttime temperature all over Oregon. I'm in the mountains now at about 4,200 feet. But even near Portland, it can be 70, 80 degrees during the day and easily drop down into the high 30s, 40s, or 50s at night, depending on the time of year. There's a big swing in temperature. And if you're not prepared for this, as this guy was not, then it can get dangerous very quickly. So it said he was found he was not prepared to be out overnight in the cold conditions. He had some water but no food and was wearing jeans, a light shirt, light jacket, hat, and a backpack. So this guy made several mistakes already. He wasn't prepared. If you don't know, when you go hiking or backpacking, especially anytime really, but especially if you're going to be going in some place that's even, you know, even mildly remote, the first thing you need to do is you need to call or text to let somebody know, preferably two people know, what you're going to be doing and how long you're going to be gone. When I do this, I typically let two people know. That way, if the first guy fails, somebody else is still there to call in the cavalry if I don't show up. So let's say I'm going backpacking. It's Friday, and I'll be like, all right, I'm going to be gone. You know, hey, Steve, I'm going to be gone Friday, Saturday. I'm going to be back on Sunday. If you don't hear from me by Sunday at 6 p.m., you call in the cavalry, and I'll let them, even give them the phone number for the local, either the police department or the forestry service or park ranger, whoever's going to be able to take the call on a weekend. And that way they know to start looking, because things can turn really bad. You know, you may be only overdue by a couple of hours, but it may be because you have a broken leg, whatever. So if you don't make it back to your car in time, you want to make sure somebody's there to look for you. So apparently this guy didn't do that. He did not come prepared. The other thing is that particular part of the country is what's known as the climate there is a temperate rainforest. So things are very wet and it is almost impossible to get a fire started unless you are really prepared and know what you're doing. The wood that's on the ground is so wet, it'll almost turn to mush whenever you're working. I've got a video I did several years ago about fire starting for, you know, camping and backpacking purposes in that exact area within a couple of miles of where this guy got lost. And you can literally see this log that I'm, you know, kneeling on. It's just disintegrating underneath me during the course of the video. So if you're going to get a fire going, you're going to need to be prepared with fire starting materials, and you won't be able to use wood off the ground. You got to get something off, like dead standing wood or something off the ground, hanging off a tree or whatever that's had a chance to dry. Otherwise, it's very difficult. Anything on the ground is going to be wet. You may be able to split it and get a fire going, but it's going to be difficult. So he wasn't prepared in that direction. But the most egregious thing is, in my opinion, he didn't have a flashlight, so he was not prepared at all to make a shelter or to be able to navigate in the dark. But the this poor guy. So he used, while he was waiting for the rescuers to arrive, I'll just read it. So, you know, the man, he used a lighter to burn his backpack and its contents, as well as his hat, to stay warm while waiting for rescuers, search team members said. Now think about that for a second. You're cold, you're freezing, you're out in the woods with no help. What do? I'm going to take off my hat and my backpack, and I'm going to burn them. Now, I mean, you know, this is the, to be fair, who knows, maybe he was in contact with them on his cell phone and he knew, hey, they're 30 minutes away. I'm just dying to warm my hands. I don't know. But why? It's hard to imagine in any scenario where it's going to be a good idea to burn your gear to stay. How long is that going to burn for? What? A minute? Maybe 2 or 3 minutes at most, I would imagine. That's hard to believe. But this is the problem. People aren't prepared. They don't know how to do this stuff. And this is what happens. He was at 3,000 feet in elevation and temperatures were in the low 30s overnight in the area. Let me tell you, man, when you're out in the woods and in that area and everything is cold, everything is wet, and the temperature is dropping rapidly. He doesn't have a flashlight. He can't see what he's doing. He's probably navigating or walking around while holding his lighter. I'm sure it was a bit of a scary thing. So those are the things you need to be doing. You should think about if you're going to go on a trip, a hiking trip, a hunting trip, pretty much any time you step out of civilization, even by a little bit, you need to notify people where you're going to be and let them know the cutoff time. So like what I would do is if I was going to be done, you know, backpacking, I was going to come back to the trailhead on Sunday, I would say, you know, I would give myself about a 2-hour buffer. That way, if I was running behind or whatever else, if I planned on being back to my car by 4 o'clock, then I would say, if you don't hear from me by 6 or 7 o'clock at the latest, you call in the cavalry. Then I would drop a pin at the trailhead so they knew exactly where to find me and, you know, where to send people. Because sometimes some trailheads or some trails will have multiple trailheads and so forth. You want to make sure they know exactly where to go. But then the other thing is you got, even for a day hike, you've got to prepare. And that's things like having a flashlight, being able to start a fire, which doesn't include burning your clothing or gear. That's a really bad idea. Once you've burned your clothing, how are you going to stay warm then, you know? So that is kind of the point of what this show is about and what we're doing here. Now, I don't pretend to be some expert. Just so you know some background about me, I am a professional knife maker. I design and build and make custom knives and outdoor gear. I do like to go hiking, fishing quite a bit. Don't do much hunting, but occasionally I will go out and do that. But I like to be on the outdoors a lot. The primary focus of my knife making is I make hollow-handled survival knives. So these obviously lend themselves well to the subject we're talking about. You can put a small kit in the handle. If you don't remember these are like the knives that, you know, Rambo had back in the 80s with the little, you know, watertight compartment. The main difference being, and you can find all this stuff on my website at www.gearconvoy.com. You can kind of see that there's all kinds of outdoor gear. The majority of what I have there is all made, designed, built, and finished here in the U.S. So we try and, you know, put a focus on getting domestic work and labor done using domestic vendors and products and everything else. It's pretty important to us. You get excellent quality control. And if you're really going to bet your life on a piece of gear or on a knife or whatever, you want to know that it is what it says it is. So, you know, that's what we do there. You'll hear me reference and talk about my line of knives and outdoor gear pretty regularly. Something very important to me. A lot of work and effort goes into making sure that this is the absolute best gear and equipment that I can provide anyone. So that if you do find yourself in a, you know, what the quote unquote survival situation, you don't have to worry, is your gear going to fail you? Is that going to be the problem? So the other part of the thing, though, is the gear isn't the only thing. And that's really, you know, coming back around here in full circle. That's what it's about, is it's preparedness and is a mindset. So, you know, you can have the best gear in the world, but if you don't know how to use it or you've never taken it out of the package, and we're going to get into this a little later in the broadcast as well, it's not going to do you any good. So you have to, I would rather have experience and the right mindset and a good plan than the best gear in the world. So anyway, that being said, that's kind of some background on me and where I'm coming from. What we're going to talk about next, though, is here in the mountains of Oregon here at 4,200 feet in Chiloquin, or Chi-Town as they sometimes call it, one of the things we face on a regular basis is power outages, especially in the wintertime. So are you prepared to handle possibly the most important task of the day if the power goes out? And what task would that be? Brewing coffee, of course. How are you going to get up and attack the day and get started without a good cup of coffee? But are you prepared, and do you know how to do this if you wake up and you don't have any power? Or are you going to be out of luck? We're going to take a brief break. I'm going to refill my coffee cup. And when we get back, we're going to go ahead and discuss that a little more in depth.